on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light's switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
Yes, a Monday morning at 10:30 or a bit after that means it's Going Greyhounds, and what a weekend of action we've had. Bulleye, the Cyril Rowe Cup, the Meadows gearing up for this Saturday night with the Australian Cup and the Superstayers, and there's no better man to take us through all of what's happening. Dave Carlson, what a week we've got coming up, particularly at the Meadows.
Oh, indeed, Andrew. Good morning to you, and wherever you may be listening to Sky Sports Radio. Yes, Saturday night coming, I'll be on track with James Vandermaat for the Group 1 Australian Cup final. $250,000 to the winner and the Superstayers. And it'd be the battle of Robbie Britton once again. So fabulous week coming up. We've got heats of the Richmond Oaks and Derby, and that's just the start of it. Our guest today will be Kel Watt from the ACT Greyhound Club, which drew first blood last week in its bitter court battle against the ACT government's ban on greyhound racing. Maddie Lanigan will be joining us, the young conditioner from Swan Hill in Victoria, who is chasing his second Group 1 next Saturday night in the Australian Cup after less than 2 years in the training ranks. Mark Gatt will be along, the leading Sydney trainer who had a huge weekend, winning the Bulleye Gold Cup, the Cyril Rowe Gold Cup there, with one of my favourite greyhounds, Ritza Lenny. And Pete Fenimore, our New Zealand mate, will review yesterday's Group 1 heats of the Railway Sprint and the New Zealand Cup at Manukau. Congratulations are also in order for trainer Hank Vandenberg, who took out the Bathurst Cup on Friday with Miss Splendorimo, who ran a sizzling 29-40, the second quickest time ever at the track, defeating Ferrero Miss and Kilkey May, which led down the back. And Miss Splendorimo is now off to the Richmond Oaks. Well, first up on Going Greyhounds, we go to the national capital and Kel Watt from ACT Greyhounds. Kel, good morning. Your email late last week reported on your court case against the ACT government and the opening argument about the fight for an extension of the club's lease. And in the email you sent me, I quote, you said, "The decision handed down today by Chief Justice Helen Murrell reveals damning findings against the government. The Chief Justice found the government failed to follow proper legal processes and all of its arguments were flawed." Expand on that for us if you can, Kel.
Certainly will, Dave. Morning and morning to all the listeners. So first thing I'll do, Dave, is apologise for the Friday afternoon email, but you got information from us as quickly as we could get it, given that the decision was handed down Friday. So the case was held the previous week. Our argument goes back, I'll give you again another little bit of a history lesson. When the ACT government cut a deal with the Greens to grab power back at the end of 2016, one of the agreements in the parliamentary agreement document was that they would cut funding to the ACT greyhound racing industry and then take other steps. So a ban or legislation was not specifically identified. So there was a few months backwards and forwards in the media, and then finally in February last year, so we've come up to just on the 12 months, the Shadow Minister for Racing asked the Minister, will it be legal to continue racing from the 1st of July? Because given the 30th of June date was being flagged in New South Wales and the ACT is the date that a ban would take effect. He stood up and gave a one-word answer and sat down, and that one-word answer was yes. So based on that, we believe that they're going to try to strip us of funding, and we would certainly contest that because we believe we've got a legal right to that as well. But because the racing was going to continue to be legal, we would restructure our finances. So we would bring in some savings, increase our revenue, and be able to fill that $1 million-a-year hole. What we then did was sit down, look at our business plan, and with 10 years left on our Commonwealth lease, struck in the late 70s, we decided that we would request an extension, as we could do legally, so that we had certainty and stability going into the future. And that would see that 10 years transformed into another 50, which would give us obviously some long-term planning ability. And there was obviously some financial benefits that came off that as well. So in April, the paperwork was submitted for the extension, and the legislation, we argued all along, was basically if you were simply requesting all the same conditions that were there previously, being the exact time frame of 50 years, being the exact type of land use, and everything else that goes with that, the legislation says you shall be granted a lease.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where it gets interesting. The government played silly buggers a few weeks, supposed to be about a 30-day turnaround. Several weeks went by, we started to chase it, and then finally in September, we got a phone call from a public servant who provided some information saying that they'd made the decision, or the independent statutory authority had made the decision to go ahead and do it, but there was some interference higher up in the public service and from the minister's office. So that led to a request for freedom of information and our legal team striking what they called a mandamus case, which is basically asking the court to instruct the government to fulfil what they should do legally. The government and the club eventually ended up in court on the 9th of February, and we went head-to-head with a whole bunch of legal arguments. And in the end, the government said, well, it's all basically pointless anyway, because for months we could see that this legislation ban was going to come. And even then, during the hearing before the decision came down, the chief magistrate said, yes, but the law is the law at the time. So she went away for a week, heard both sides, and we felt we were in a strong position. And lo and behold, the decision came out last Friday saying the government had not fulfilled what it was supposed to do legally. So they basically, they didn't really break the law. They just didn't meet the standards as applied in the law. The arguments they put forward about, oh, well, it was going to be a ban and there was no point to it, was completely dismissed.
Right.
And we won every single aspect. This is where the real kicker comes in, though. We won all 5 points that were debated during the trial.
But right.
Unfortunately, the chief magistrate says because the ban is now in place, it would be, in her words, futile for the extension to be granted. So that doesn't mean we've lost our lease. It doesn't mean that anything's changed in the negative. It simply means that there's no extension granted. So this now feeds into our next round of legal action. If we can contest the validity of the legislation and not and talk about compensation, and the government realises it's going to be a multi-million dollar exercise and all the rest of it, there's still an opportunity for us to have the racing ban overturned, and then we shall be granted a lease extension. So
right.
It's pretty damning of the government that the guys that are supposed to be in charge of treating people fairly and administering the law get slapped around like that by the chief magistrate.
Yeah, the chief magistrate, what did she say about the minister, what the minister said in Parliament?
Well, there wasn't a particular finding there, but some of the, I know what you're referring to here, which is some of the evidence put forward by the government really had our eyes popping, and also it tied in nicely with some documents we got under Freedom of Information. So the way the Planning and Land Authority works in the ACT, a lot like it does around other parts of the country, is that the politicians and elected government members are kept at arm's length from any decision-making around planning or extensions of leases and things like that, because it's basically an integrity measure and mm-hmm. stops allegations of corruption and political interference. So that's what's supposed to happen here in the ACT. But there was a document put forward by the government during in one of their affidavits, which matched up with another email that we were able to get through Freedom of Information in November, revealing that there was at least two documented accounts of public servants acknowledging that there was conversations and interference and direct interaction with the minister's office discussing the extension of the lease. So I'm a bit surprised that the media more broadly and some of the political opponents haven't picked up on this, but that really is as close to a smoking gun as you're going to get for corruption and abuse of power in a planning process as you're going to get. So I really do hope this is picked up a bit more broadly, because the minister's office and the minister himself probably has a lot to answer, especially when we first got a sniff of it, the racing shadow minister asked during question time, has there been any interaction, communication, you know, anything at all to do with the department around this lease? And on two occasions, he said no. So either the government has put forward false evidence in the courtroom, or the minister has been badly misled by his staff, or is choosing to mislead the assembly on his own. Either way, something stinks to high hell, and we know that there was unfair political interference in what should have been a completely independent decision-making process.
Court battle is going to be questioning the validity of the government's greyhound racing ban. When is that expected to commence?
So we're looking at a directions hearing in early March. So we are hopeful that by the end of March or April, we'll be back in court. Now, this is the big one. As important as this decision was for us, and we're very pleased because it absolutely vindicates our claim over 12, 18 months now that we've been treated unfairly and unlawfully. So tick for that. But this is the big one where it kicks in. There's a whole range of issues around the constitutional validity of legislation, around the fact that there's been no compensation put forward on the during negotiations, which is also unconstitutional. So if we find that the laws are unconstitutional, it gets overturned. So the good thing about that, for all of you listeners, it doesn't matter whether you're in Canberra or Timbuktu, if you have a win in this instance, it means that the greyhound industry is protected nationally because the constitution and obviously the validity of laws as it applies to the constitution affects all states and territories. So that's going to be 6 to 12 months, we suspect. It's not going to be a cheap one. It's not going to be a short one, but it's going to be terribly important. And even if we were to lose the argument around the validity of the legislation and the ban stays in effect, what we're hoping is that the compensation issue will be tested, and there's no amount of changes to the ACT laws are going to affect that. If compensation is needed, as per the Constitution requires, when you take away somebody's property, it's got to be done on just terms. We hope that it will apply political pressure, because if there's suddenly a big multi-million dollar compensation check to be written by the ACT government at a time where they don't really have much cash, we're hoping that the politicians will have a big rethink and say, look, we simply don't have $100 million or whatever it's going to be to get rid of these guys. We'll just rescind the legislation. We go back to the situation as it was.
Okay.
But, you know, again, who knows? We would rather win and stay in the ACT because, you know, having eight states and territories racing is much better than seven, because seven soon becomes six, soon becomes five, and so on.
Now, as a footnote, Kel, remind us of the ownership and the story of the Greyhound Community Values, who fittingly won the first race at Canberra Dogs last night.
Yeah, a great little story. Well, for those, I know Sydney seemed to cop a lot of the news about the rain, but Canberra got smashed. There was more rain in Canberra than we normally get in a month, so there was flash flooding all over the place. And it's a fairly sort of flat city, so the track probably should have been, you know, several inches underwater and racing called off, but the ground staff have done a great job the last few years to prepare the track for such incidents, and within a couple of hours they had the track ready for racing, so it's fantastic. Anyway, the dog who races under the name Community Values is all black, and is name is Nugget, but races under Community Values, is was so named because the minister, when during the debate about banning greyhound racing, said, oh, greyhound racing is out of line with Community Values. You know, the Community Values no longer support greyhound racing. So the shadow minister, Mark Parton, put forward an idea. He was after 20 people that weren't involved with the local race industry in any shape or form to throw a few hundred dollars onto the table to show that, in fact, the community was prepared to back greyhound racing and become a part owner of the dog. And that was snapped up. We gave ourselves 3 days to do that, and in less than an hour, all the shares had gone. So he's now hitting the track and got his first win last night at a time where we kind of got a moral victory, if not a full legal victory in the courts. So I'm taking it as a little sign of things to come, that things are starting to go our way. But race number one, came home from box one on a track that should never have been suitable for racing, but was in perfect condition by the time the first race went off. So, great little story, and look for Community Values in the it's grabbed a few seconds so far, but finally got its first place. So, put some money on it, people. You're going to get a win more often than not.
Kel, as always, thank you for keeping us up to date. We'll speak to you again soon as the court case progresses.
Good on you. Thanks, Dave, and thanks again to all your listeners for the support. It's been tremendous, and I know that it's really kept the spirits buoyed of people at a time where it is being tested on a daily basis.
Kel Watt from the ACT Greyhound Club, their spokesperson. Well, next Saturday night, as Andrew mentioned earlier on, at the Meadows in Melbourne, myself and James Vandermart will be trackside for the Group 1 Australian Cup Final and the Group 1 Super Stayers Decider. Wow, fantastic racing to come. Now, The heats of the weekend of both events were absolutely sensational, with a few upsets and some good things saluting in the cup, with the two favourites shining in the super stayers, Kennel Mates, the champion Fanta Bale, and the heir apparent Rippin' Sam. If Fanta Bale wins next weekend, she'll be the highest earning greyhound in history, surpassing the great Fernando Bale. The Australian Cup heat winners were Queenslander Slick, in 30 and 22, fellow Queenslander Opal Nera 30.04, Raw Ability 29 and 89, Hecton Bale, which set the time standard in 29 and 76, Hasten Slowly 30.04, Dinah Forest 30.03, Chase and Crackers 29.78, and Zipping Inglis in 30 and 10. The box draw for the $250,000 to the winner final is Slick in 1, Dinah Forest 2, Chase and Crackers 3, Raw Ability 4, Zipping Inglis 5, Opal Nera 6, Hasten Slowly 7, Hecton Bale in 8. The reserves are Extreme Magic and Dinah Chancer. Young trainer Matt Lanigan is on the line from Swan Hill in Country Victoria, following the win of Zipping Inglis in Heat 4.
Racing. Out of range, began okay, way fast, Equanimity out wide's going to go to the lead, settling down over Zipping Inglis. The out of range in trouble is jammed out to the tail of the field on the first turn and going down the back and getting up on the inside, Zipping Inglis hit the lead. By a length or so clear, Equanimity six lengths away, then came Brigolino third, then out of range, followed then by Lachlan Minnelli. Well back in the race there as they come up the back straight, would have been Rig 55, back to the tower for Lucky and Benali. In the straight though, and Zipping Inglis shot clear, and Zipping Inglis won by six lengths. Brigolino second, third tight, maybe.
Oh, well, Matty Lanigan, congratulations. He jumped beautifully from the eight, which can be a tough box at the Meadows, before finding the rail, leaving the straight, and then dominating.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dave. It was, it sort of all went to plan, and all he did everything right, and it was, it's still hard to believe. It's just listening there again to the call there, it gives me goosebumps, that's for sure.
Well, his time of 30 and 10 was a personal best at the Meadows. How much can he improve on that in the final, do you think?
Oh, I think he does have a fair bit of improvement. He's much better drawn when he's, closer to the fence. So, obviously, box five is not ideal, but he does happen to run straight. He proved that on Saturday night that he can run straight, and then when he gets that clear running that he'll cut hard down to the fence. So I think, he definitely can improve. It's only the fifth time that he's had a look at the track, and the first time he'd never been there at all. So, hopefully he can improve, but I wouldn't matter what time he runs. If he was lucky enough to win, I couldn't care if he ran 30 and 60. As long as his nose is past that line first, I wouldn't care what time it was.
He's in the squeeze in box five between Raw Ability to his inside and Opal Nera to his outside. Your thoughts?
When we first pulled out box five, I wasn't overly wrapped with it, but I don't think it's actually too bad when you sit down and have a look at it with Raw Ability. I think, obviously he'll be the favourite, and he's a standout dog. He comes out running, and he does like to get to the fence, and Opal Nera as well, obviously in box six, is another good beginner and likes to run wide. He was really suited on Saturday night in box eight, and I think that should give us some clear running if we can just step well, and hopefully we might get a card across from Raw Ability. And I'll just have my fingers and toes crossed and just close my eyes going around that first corner that he can get around safely. And no matter what the result is, I couldn't be prouder of him. Just to make the final is something that I couldn't even believe would happen. So, I'm extremely proud of the dog.
Well, it'll be your second Group 1 if you win, Matt. You've had an amazing start to your career. You won the 2016 Group 1 Hobart 1000 in what must have been only weeks after taking up the collar and lead.
Yeah, it was definitely a pretty good experience to start training with, that's for sure. It's, I think I'd only been training about 3 months or so. So it's been, an absolute whirlwind the last 18 months. I've obviously had the ups of that, and then had a couple of lows with two of my better dogs, Zipping Bruiser and Zipping Hooch, that both have had long sustained injuries. And so it has been, absolute whirlwind. And I think this is our fourth Group 1 final in that 18 months. So I know, I can't thank, obviously, my partner, Nicole. She does heaps of work, and obviously my family and stuff like that. And especially with Inglis, like the owners of him, Punters HQ, like I can't thank them enough for being able to trust me with these dogs after such a short time of training. And, yeah, it's an absolute whirlwind. It's hard to believe, that's for sure.
Matty, you're 25. What were you doing before going into training full-time? I believe you were playing cricket in England.
Yeah, I used to play cricket. I'm originally from Swan Hill, and I got a cricket scholarship to go down in Melbourne, and I played down there, and I played for Melbourne Cricket Club, and absolutely loved my cricket, and that was my absolute passion. And that happened to take me overseas a couple of times, and spent some 6 months over in England playing. But unfortunately, injuries. I've had a knee reconstruction and a shoulder reconstruction since. So sort of cricket went away, and I've come back home and lived with mum and dad, and took up, like, I've got a full-time job here at Telstra in Swan Hill. And dad and I, when I came back from England, I said, I wanted to just own a greyhound with him. And it sort of escalated from there, that we ended up with about 10 running at one time. And when Nicole and I purchased our own property here in Swan Hill, I always said to Dad that I just wanted to have one or two kennels, and that way I could just have one that I could run around with. And that soon escalated, and we've got 5 in work now, and I absolutely love it, and I would absolutely love to be able to do it full time and make a career out of it. But just at the moment, I'm happy with what's happening, and it's all good fun, and I just absolutely love being around the dogs, and it's good fun.
Yeah, your dad Gerald obviously has been a massive influence on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Dad and I are best mates. We've, like I said, we've owned the dogs together, and now that I'm obviously training, but I wouldn't be able to do it without Dad and Mum as well. And like I said, Nicole, we make a really good team, and when one of us goes to the track, or if two of us go to the track or anything like that, we've always, someone has to stay home because we do live so far away. And, Dad's definitely the brains behind everything. I'm just the one that, I guess I just take the credit, I guess. I take all the credit when they win, and when we have no luck or anything like that, I blame Dad. So, I wouldn't be able to do it without him. And, it's really special to be able to have such a good connection with my family, and especially with Mum and Dad.
Well, you'll be making the long trip from northwest Victoria, from Swan Hill to the Meadows on Saturday night. All the very best with Zipping Inglis, Matt, and thanks for joining us on Going Greyhounds.
No worries. Thank you very much, Dave. Appreciate it.
There's Matty, and we'll see Matty Lanigan on track. James and I will have a chat with him in the lead-up to the Australian Cup. While we're on the Meadows, the box draw for next Saturday night's Group 1 Super Stayers final. The champ, Fanta Bale, drawn to lead in 1. Bolt Like Beckham, 2. Magic Hornet, 3. Rip and Sam, 4. Quick Jagger, 5. Sharp Diamond, 6. Azkaban, 7. Mix Angel in the 8. The reserves are Packy Keeping and Ebby Ripper. Well, closer to home on Saturday night at Bulleye, a strong field lined up to contest the Group 2 Cyril Rowe Gold Cup.
Racing, Jimmy Newog was near last away. Precious Owl come out well. Lucky Chaps joined the split, and with Ritzelinium, Black Hole Sun, Jimmy Newog's driving along the inside. Jesus, the charge into the corner, and Ritzelinium got across and went to the lead from Jimmy Newog. Precious Owl, Lucky Chap, followed by Lagoon Pirate, Sleek Master. Further back in the field was Elantris and Black Hole Sun as they turned. Ritzelinium's in full flight over Jimmy Newog, and Ritzelinium gets a crack of the Group 2 this year and takes it home. Second home, Jimmy Newog.
Yeah, Ritzelinium it was. And winning trainer Mark Gatt joins us now. Congratulations, Mark. He overcame box 6, which I know you were worried about, and topped it off by clocking a personal best 25.95.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dave. No, he went really good. I honestly thought he'd struggle to lead from out there with the dogs in boxes 1, 2 and 3. They had a heap of speed, and he come out probably is the best he's ever come out. And, it was a mad charge for the lead, and fortunately for us, he come out on top.
Well, it's a great story, Mark. You told us about it before. Last year, you had to amputate one of Ritzelinium's toes, which can obviously affect the dog's times, but instead, he's been flying since he's returned from that, winning 6 from 9.
Yeah, that's right. He's come back better than ever. It wasn't only, it wasn't just an amputated toe. It was actually, so the toe was taken right off, but we also had to pull the whole tendon out of that, the tendon that run off that toe out of the foot. So it actually looks like the dog's missing half of his foot. So it's just been a massive effort. I was just saying to my brother, like, just a few months back, we were looking at him in the paddock limping around, wondering if we'd get him back to even just win a race on the provincials. And to do what he's done, it's been unbelievable.
And I believe he's had a big week. He became a dad on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right. I put him over my good bitch Ritza Hattie, and she had six all blacks. Four bitches and two dogs on Wednesday, and they're all nice and healthy, and so we're looking forward to them in the future.
Now, the heats of the Group 2 Richmond Derby are on this Friday night. Ritzelini had no luck in the final from box six last year. Mark, are you lining him up again?
Yeah, mate, he'll go to the Derby this week, and hopefully he draws well and gets a bit of luck, and he's full of confidence at the moment and going as good as ever, so I'm sure he'll run really well.
Mark, I spoke to you at Wente a couple of weeks back. You told me to keep an eye out for one of your youngsters, Ritza Millie, a daughter of Collision and Ritza Hattie. She trialled there in 30.09 last week. When will we see her make her debut?
She'll start in the Magic Maiden series coming up in 3 weeks at Wentworth Park. She's going along nicely. That was her first ever 500, and she went really good, I thought. The track is getting a little bit quicker there now, so the times are getting quicker. So, I was really happy with her, but she's got a long way to go. She's got to do it with seven other dogs and all the rest of it, but she's definitely got the ability, so I'm just hoping she can turn into a little race bitch.
Well, she's in the right hands. Mark, you're trained a winning double at Richmond on Friday night too, Glengarry Boy, and it's a party who's won three of six since joining your kennel, so you're continuing to power on, to you and your dad Frank and brother Dan, the entire team. Keep it up, and congratulations, and thanks so much for being a guest on the show.
Not a problem at all, Dave. Thanks heaps, mate.
Good on you. There is Mark Gatt. And finally today, we head across the Tasman to Auckland, where four heats of the Group 1 Railway Sprint and four heats of the Group 1 Auckland Cup were contested at Manukau yesterday. Pete Fenimore is on the line. Pete, let's start with the Railway and a double to Jean and Dave Fahey with She's a Ripper, and Vikings with Danny D for Karen Walsh and Ray Adcock's Rosa T, the other winners. Which of the heats stood out for you?
Good morning, Dave. Yeah, most definitely She's a Ripper. Dave Fahey has got this greyhound really sprinting, firing extremely well at the moment. Won the heat in 18 and 35. Danny D for Karen Walsh was impeded during that early race, strong and winning in 18 and 39, and Rosa T in 18 and 36. The way the box draws pan out, Dave, to me, it's just a straight out match race. She's a ripper from the two versus Danny D from the six.
Okay, yeah, the box draw for next Sunday's final. Vikings one, She's a Ripper two, Alex Attack three, Mrs. Brown's Girl four, Rosa T five, Danny D six, Hypocritical seven, Obstinatus eight, Reserves Big Time, and Classy Impact. So two and six it is, Pete says. Pete, yesterday's Auckland Cup heat winners were the former Lagogiani kennel chaser Chalet Palais for Jean and Dave Fahey, Big Time Paddy for Lisa Cole, while Craig Roberts trained a double with Dirk Bale and little brother Avenger Bale. They're Fernando Bale out of Langy Bale. They're all pretty good heats.
Oh, for sure, Dave. Look, we expected them to be very competitive, and they certainly will. And with the Greyhounds that will advance through to next Sunday's final, it's going to be a very, very competitive event, no question about that. Great. Craig Roberts, the three little brothers, Alan Abbott is the third one of those. Of course, he's a dual Group 1 winner over here. Beaten in his heat by Big Time Paddy, but lost no admirers whatsoever. Was on track debut. Little brother, Avenger Bale, the quickest of the heat winners in 30 and 20, can only improve from that. And the remaining brother, Dirk Bale, 30 and 38. It's interesting to note that Paul Wheeler, or the Wheeler family, will be represented by four winners, because Craig Roberts' son, Matty, trained Curtis Bale to win second to Chalet Palais. So that obviously makes the final. But to me, Dave, the likely big improver from the heat, definitely Chalet Palais, for the Fays, and we know just what happens to Fay Greyhounds when they phone up for Group 1 finals.
Indeed, Chalet Palais in the 2, Quistis Bale Box 1, Big Time Paddy 3, Avenger Bale 4, Little Brother Alan Ablett 5, Little Brother Dirk Bale 6, Apawa Timo 7, Tom T 8. The reserves are Shredden and Nature's Gent. We'll speak to you next Monday after the 2 Group 1 finals on Sunday at Manukau. Pete, thank you for joining us.
Cheers, Dave. No worries whatsoever, mate.
Pete Fenimore there. And just before we go, greyhound racing at the Gunnedah track has been temporarily suspended due to track damage. Next Saturday's non-TAB meeting will now be held at Tamworth. And this Thursday night's Albion Park meeting will be its last for 2.5 weeks, with track renovations commencing and racing scheduled to recommence there on Monday, March the 19th.
And we should mention, Dave, that over the next few weeks, the Tuesday night meetings at Gosford, we know that they've had issues. They've been fully transferred to Maitland starting tomorrow night. So the meetings on the 27th of Feb, the 6th of Feb, the 13th, the 20th, have all been transferred from Gosford to Maitland on those Tuesday nights.
Indeed. Thank you for that, Andrew. And let's hope we can get all those tracks up and running and operational again soon. And Andrew, I'll catch you on the Catching Pen with Jason Lincoln and James Vandermart tomorrow evening at 6:30 p.m. on Sky Racing 2.
Good on you, Dave. I got plenty out of this morning, which I know I shouldn't be surprised at, but I love an Australian Cup.
You beauty. Well, I'll see you on Track Horse.
Meadow, Saturday night. Look forward to it.